Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special 200th episode of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host this week, Mason, and I'm joined by everyone we could get in here. So let's do rapid fire mode. We got above me, we have Spencer. Next to him, we got Casey. Then we got Michael Hinderocker, then myself. We got Manny Merez, and we got Quentin Pierce. Hello, everyone.
Quentin,
how you guys
doing? Why don't you wave your hand, man?
Yeah. Quentin.
Feeling extremely still today.
He's taking
doing the mannequin challenge.
Yeah.
He's so good at it. Yeah. His mouth isn't even moving.
That guy has a fireplace.
Well, we have got a lot to do today, so let's hop right into it. We want to always thank our sponsor, Oasis Games, and the Mana Base for sponsoring this content. Normally, we love to go deep on them, but with six people here, we have a lot to cover. We'll make sure to go double hard next week, just like they will always go doubly hard to make sure you get your product on time. It's the best I got. All right, moving on into Patreon questions, which without the patrons, the show wouldn't be possible. So we've got a bunch of them, so we're going to move through them pretty quickly, and I'm going to target them at certain people.
Hey, Manny, how do you feel about Mason's transition there?
It was good. I wanted to say something very badly, but I'm going to hold that in.
Yeah? All right. Mm-hmm.
I also go double hard. Okay, go.
Nice. I like it. I get that reference. So Adrian has a bunch of questions to ask. I'm going to ask them to a couple people here. So Spencer, I think this one's targeted at you. What is the next big step for constructed criticism?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Michael and I will be actually recording our audio separately from the live podcast. So one of the things that we're getting is that with the Skype calls and live shows, the audio quality suffers a little bit. So we'll be moving back to a format where the audio is separate from the live show. And then we'll release a live podcast with a little bit better audio quality, which is pretty exciting for the vast majority of people watching. It makes for a better listening experience, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. I'm going to throw this one over here to Michael. Michael, why did Mardu vehicles make a comeback this week into the GP, and is Mardu great again?
Well, it won one GP, and it took second at the other, so that's like a pretty good weekend. It's good because people are playing control decks.
Mm-hmm. Can I jump in here?
The most succinct way I can answer that question.
Hop on in.
I don't know that the best Mardu player in the world winning with Mardu does not make Mardu great. Like, this guy's been playing
results through both.
He's
good,
the best Mardu player literally in the world, right? Like, he's been playing Mardu forever.
Sure, but it had another one in the top eight of that GP.
Sure.
It took second in Turin.
It had a good weekend, but we've been saying that it's going to have a good weekend, right? Like, we already knew that was going to happen. What I'm saying is, like, its results this weekend aren't indicative of it being the best deck. It just naturally was going to do that as blue-black control and other control decks popped up. And the best player got rewarded for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good against control decks. I think that not having to play against much mono red is a big boon for that deck. I think that it's really well positioned as long as people continue to try to play things like Approach the Second Sun. I think that deck is probably close to 0% against Mardu, so, you know. Mm-hmm. Depends on what you're seeing, but I think it is a totally reasonable choice, as it has been really the last couple of weeks.
Okay, awesome. All right, Manny, I'm throwing this one to you. What is the craziest story you've had on a Magic trip?
Oh.
Hang on. Manny, that question?
All right, Manny, okay. From what I can tell, I wanted this to happen. I was going to move it anyways. Casey, what was the craziest story that happened to you on a Magic trip that wasn't whatever happened with Manny?
I kind of want to hear Manny's story, but
no,
I think
that's when he got blocked by Brian Killer on Twitter. It's easy peasy lemon squeezy there.
Was that it? Oh, I harassed Brian like really badly that weekend. I really shouldn't have done that. I feel bad about that. It was the same weekend as EDC, and man, he just looked like hammered buttholes, and I just wouldn't leave him alone about it. He looks so bad.
All right. Casey, how goes it? Keep it going.
Yeah, I'm good. So the my craziest Magic road trip experience, I guess, is my car breaking down twice on the way to Idaho and needing to be pushed into the parking lot of our hotel, and then I had to go back two more times to trade in the rental car and then trade in my loaner car to get my actual car back. So I had to go to Idaho three times in 2 weeks.
I feel like we've told this story on the podcast, but I was in the back seat and I'm in the middle and I put my head forward and I'm like talking to Casey, who's over here, and Alex, who's over here, and I was like, hey, guys, what's going on? Also, hey, Casey, did you know your check engine light is on? And we're in, like, Orem at this point, so it's, like, only, like, 30 minutes out of Salt Lake. And Casey, like, looks at me, and apparently he'd already talked to Alex, talked being, you know, told Alex that it was happening. And he was like, yeah, it's good, bruh. It's good. And we get to Boise, and the car just stops working. So we open the the hood.
No, that was in the middle of nowhere. That wasn't to Boise. That was like
we're in Idaho. I mean,
yeah,
we could have been in Wendell. I don't know. But we open the hood. We sit there for a minute. He turns the car back on. It looks good, and we make it all the way to Boise. That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
And well, almost all the way. We get like 15 feet out of the parking lot, and the car just stops working. And he looks at the back seat. He's like, hey, guys, car's not moving. So we all get out. We push it into the parking lot. We get a cab to the PTQ that day. To make it even worse, I lose to Alex in a win and in where I could win. He could lose his next this round, and it was a tough one. But anyway, Alex loses in top eight. Alex and I go get drunk. They go get a rental car, and we're all under, like, 25 at this point. So none of us get a rental car for a reasonable price. It was super expensive. They come back and get us. We go get, like, margarita beers at the gas station. We all chug them. And what happens is we are in this rental car, and Alex Sittner, Silver Pro Alex Sittner, is chugging these margarita beers, and he throws up across the side of the rental car out the window on our way home. And then he gets out, grabs a paper towel, and just smears it.
It was a paper towel, it would be not that bad. It was like, you know those, like, window squeegee things they have at gas stations to, like, wash your windows? So he just, like, smears vomit all over the car with this thing after we
and then
get
gets
out for
back
gas.
In. Yeah. And to top
like,
this off, right,
I cleaned it up,
this
guys.
This is the third PTQ we've gone to in, like, Boise in a while. And one of the common threads of going to PTQs in Boise is Matt Kling screwing it up. And Matt Kling is driving. And we're driving, and we see the sign that's like, it's like 25 miles to Pocatello. And Matt Kling's like, yeah, you got to really ignore that sign, because if you go that way, you'll end up in Pocatello, and it's BS. And like 10 minutes later, we're in Pocatello. And he's like, hey, guys, you guys screwed up somehow.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, that sign doesn't actually tell you that you're in Pocatello. It tells you that that's where the exit to go to Pocatello is. So, like, it's really confusing. And then all of a sudden, like, we see the big soap factory in Pocatello. And it's like, oh.
I think I took
a wrong turn.
This was the worst magic trip I've ever been on. And somehow Casey and I still became best friends. Because
yeah.
I was like, this guy's the biggest idiot I've ever met.
That was a fun one.
That's impressive. All right, Quentin, this next one's for you. You've been a long-time Magic player, right? How do you keep it from getting boring and stale when you're playing at such a competitive level?
Well, I actually just got off of a very long break. I took about 3 months off, I think, and that actually really helped me. If the game's ever feeling stale to you and you're just getting frustrated a lot, I think taking a break is great. Like, don't have to sell your Magic collection or give the game up completely. Keeping things fresh with taking a little time away from the game is a good way to do it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I think that while I don't encourage this for a lot of people, sharing a collection with somebody is super awesome. So Quinn and I share a Magic Online collection. And while Quinn was gone, I was able to maintain our Magic Online collection. We had every deck in Standard while he was gone. He came back to every single deck in Standard. And while that can be bad if you, like, you don't trust your friends, with Quinn and I, it's like a real relationship where I trust him, he trusts me. We're, like, really open with each other. And that can be a really good way to get back into Magic after a short break.
Certainly agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask Michael this question. Do you play a lot of Cube on Magic Online? And if so, why or why not?
No, not usually. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing with Cube is that they start feeling really similar if you've played very much of it. To be fair, I did spend some time the other day playing a bunch of the World Wake Standard Flashback, and that was incredibly fun, you know, just because the decks are different or whatever. But I end up feeling like you play very much Cube, and Cubes tend to just be really similar.
Gotcha. So we have a few more here we're going to go through really quick. So this next one is for everyone. We're going to do a lightning round. So we're going to go from Spencer, Casey over here. I'm going to ask you guys, what is your favorite standard format of all time? You have a second to think about it. Spencer, what's your favorite standard format? Oh, man. Too much pressure. You couldn't handle it. Casey, what's your favorite standard format?
No, I think it's, Theros it's probably cons. Theros.
Theros cons for both of you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Me too.
I mean, it's a great standard. Michael, what's your favorite standard format?
Well, I wasn't playing Magic then, so I don't get to copy
that. That's why it was my favorite.
Yeah, I understand. Magic's more fun when you're winning. I get it.
I mean, it's fine if your friends are still not winning too.
Exactly.
I don't really know. I actually really liked what would that have been? Cons BFC?
Cons BFC.
That was a good point too.
Yeah. Quentin, what was yours?
My favorite was Innistrad when Blue White Delver was the best deck in the format.
Okay. Cool. Out of the norm. All right, so I'm going to ask this one to everyone, and whoever has the thing they have the best answer, just answer it, because there's no other way to do this. If you guys are to get a good airline ticket, and where do you go to get your airline tickets? Anyone who flies?
Don't use Frontier. I can just don't use Frontier. Don't use American.
American is fine.
You'll get beat up on United.
Honestly, Southwest is usually just like a really good deal with a really good airline. And honestly, like if you're going to go to a lot of GPs, you should just pick an airline and stick with it. So I would honestly just pick Southwest if you're going to stay US and just do it the whole time. That's just my opinion.
Nice. Yeah, if you're planning on like not going to many but want to get a good deal, I just would go to Priceline and don't ever choose Frontier.
I would just sort by price, and then I would also sort hotels by price, and then I would save money and try not to get stabbed.
Yeah, when Michael and I were traveling a lot, we had like a sort of a stabbability rating, how likely you are to get stabbed at any given
hotel.
We had
so many questions about that. When you guys... There was a literal podcast where people were like, what's the stab rating of this city? And it was like, I love
it. All right. Manny, I'm going to ask this one to you. Hopefully there's no crazy stories attached to it. Have you ever spent a night in an Airbnb? And if so, did you like them?
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay.
Nope.
Oh, man. I think that Casey, myself, Michael, Danny, like that's basically how we stay in cities now. It's a really good price. If you can get a good hotel price, you should do a hotel because like the amenities are better. But like honestly, Airbnb is usually going to be a better price with better amenities. So it kind of just depends. You have to check it to like what they're offering. So like Denver hotels were better, but when you go to like a big city like Portland or Seattle or New York or something like that, usually the Airbnbs are going to be a little bit better.
Yeah,
me and my girlfriend use them and we quite like them.
Yeah, I've used them for the last couple of months I've been too. They're great. All right.
Same.
So this is one for everyone. So I'm going to say it right in here and give you guys a minute to think about it. What has been your biggest always improving moment in Magic the Gathering, or one that really sticks out to you? I'm going to start with you, Spencer.
Starting this podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, from probably like episode 1 to episode 13, 14, you know, there was a big learning curve of like doing Magic content. And then, you know, as we move forward, you know, I was actually talking to Manny about this 2 days ago, and there's a real forcing you to constantly be improving when you're on this podcast. You can't take a – like, when you take a break from Magic on constructive criticism, the listeners know. They can tell. And when you aren't pushing yourself and trying to get better all the time, the listeners know. So doing Magic content has been the biggest always improving moment in my life because it forces me to stay positive, do the right things, and try and come up with things that will help others, not just myself. And that's a huge deal for me.
Casey, what about you?
That's tough because I don't think that there's really a moment ever. It's more like a process. You just like – sometimes it's a conscious decision to start doing something, but more often than not, it's just like – making yourself aware of it and then gradually incorporating it. So I can't really think of an always improving moment. Sorry.
That's why I think that's good, you know, like the fact that you're always doing it. We're always working towards a goal.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's why it's always improving. Yeah.
Never heard of that. Michael, what is your biggest moment?
I'm trying to think. It's so hard to say, to like break things down into that kind of, probably the moment that enabled the most of that was just being invited to test with these guys and just having
suck up
resources.
Suck up.
Having the worst. I wish you were never invited.
Can I just say that Michael was all like, thank you so much, Michael. Like, that means a lot to us. But also, you know, Quentin and I, we were shooting. So we used to play basketball with me, Quentin, Manny, and Michael, and Austin. And Quentin got there early one day, and Quentin and I are just shooting around. And we're shooting the basketball, and Quentin looks at me and he says, this is right after Quentin had left the podcast, and he's like, Michael's going to be a platinum pro one day. Like, Michael is going to be the future of your podcast. I hope you know that. And I was like, dude, I know. And this Michael hadn't even won a PPTQ yet. Quentin and I just knew that Michael was the future of the show. Like, he is – I literally Manny quit Magic because of how good at Magic Michael is. Like, he's unreal. Manny, Michael, Quentin, just jump on this for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so obvious that Michael was just very in tune with the game after taking a very long break, is my understanding. He just showed so much natural skill and intelligence towards the strategy in the game. So, yeah, it was very obvious to me that he was going to be successful very quickly.
What I mean, though, is just like having resources to having people who are good to bounce ideas off of, I think goes so far.
We appreciate that.
Because when you're looking at things on your own, you just it's about people just like giving you their honest opinion, right? Like when you ask them if something is good, think about how much time you get to save, right?
You
and when
do.
When you have a group of people where like they'll shoot down some of your worst ideas, and then you don't have to spend a bunch of time working on them. And when you have a good idea, sometimes they can give you like it gives you the chance to be so much more efficient.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So Quentin, what was your biggest always improving moment?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Casey in that it's tough to just think of one moment, but if I had to pick one, it would be when I started playing Magic Online. Before that, I would just play in FNMs and like whenever there is a PTQ, and I would usually do quite poorly. But I mean, I don't think it's just Magic Online being great for you. It's more that it just allows you to play a lot and more competitively. So I mean, it's basically when I started playing closer to 30 hours a week as opposed to just every FNM I could go to.
Gotcha. And Manny, what about yourself?
Mine was learning to improve. So one of the biggest things that I took away from being on the podcast, playing Magic with these guys, is that whatever you're doing, no matter how good at it, you can be better. And, you know, kind of being happy where you are, you know, is just, it's not a good thing. It always leads to decline. And, you know, if you're not improving, you're getting worse. And I think that applies to anything you do in your life. You know, if you're just content with where you are, you're not going to be where you want to be for long.
Yep.
I like that point, but I also think separating that from being unhappy with where you are, right? You can be proud of your achievements. So,
well, yeah, right? I'm not going like, into a closet beating myself up.
It's a fine line, right? Because it is really easy to be hard on yourself in unfair ways.
That's true. Pretty hard line, too. Like, you know, especially when you're surrounding yourself with, like, the literal best people around you, right? So if you're thinking about Utah, like you're starting up with Danny and Michael and Alex, it's like, well, I can't go to every GP that these guys are going to. So that's a strike against me. I can't play in as many PPTQs as these guys are playing in. I can't dedicate myself to the game the way these people are. And it's really unfair to you as a Magic player when you're surrounding yourself with the literal best in your area. And it's really hard to separate those two things, as Michael is saying, right? It makes you feel bad where you're like, am I not as good as these people? And the truth is that, and this is something that Michael had to teach me, is that you have to separate yourself. It's unfair for me to compare myself to Michael when Michael's going to 12 GPs a year and I'm going to 3. It's not fair. I can't make that comparison. And when I do, I'm going to feel bad because Michael's going to get 20 pro points and I'm going to get 6. And it's just not as fun.
Yep. Makes sense. Very reasonable too. So from one real topic to another real topic, and we're going to kind of go through the same motion here. So Brian asks, how do you each balance magic and relationships? I find it difficult when I'm dating to balance magic and the relationship. Spencer, I know this is something that you and your wife, you know, have gone through. How's it working out for you?
So I actually never dated and played magic at the same time. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I were in a long distance relationship when I was starting to play magic. So if you like look at the first year of my relationship, I was like top 100 in the world in ELO rating, and I played a magic event every single day of the week. When we got married, that obviously dropped significantly, and I've never played as much magic again. But so I don't play Friday Night Magic. That night is dedicated to my wife. I don't play Sunday PPTQs. I do chores, make my videos that day, unless I'm going on a magic trip. And honestly, magic probably wouldn't be possible for me without the patrons of this show. The patrons make it possible for me to go to GPs, make it possible for me to continue doing this magic content. But honestly, you have to have a conversation with your significant other because magic takes a lot of time. And we've had a lot of – even our patrons, we've had people leave because magic takes up too much of that time. And you kind of have to be honest about what's going on. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but like part of Quinn's break is that he wanted to spend time with his girlfriend, Belly. And she deserves that. Like Belly's an amazing person and Quentin wanted to spend time with her. And I've taken breaks from magic just to spend time with Devonair. And it's because that significant other is worth so much to you. And you have to prioritize and you have to be honest about like what your expectations are for what you can do. Because if you're dishonest with yourself, you're going to be upset at them and they don't deserve that. And I think that's really important.
That's fair. Let's just jump straight to Quentin since Spencer brought it up. Quentin, how do you feel about this subject?
Well, honestly, I think the biggest part of it is picking your significant other. Like, I really don't try and hide the fact that I am a huge nerd and that I like very weird things that most people don't like. And I don't hesitate to tell the women that I'm attracted to. Obviously, this is a long time ago because me and my girlfriend have been dating for 3 years now. But, yeah, I'm just okay with being myself. So people figure out that, well, he's going to go to magic tournaments and I don't want to go with him. And then I don't really date them. But Belly is awesome. She's very much okay with me being a nerd. And she also loves to travel. So she actually comes to lots of the tournaments with me. And, you know, if I scrub out, we go do some fun things or, like, we make an extra day so we can go do something she'd like to do too. And that really helps, you know, just a little compromise.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump to Michael here. Michael, you travel to probably, it seems like, the most GPs I've ever on the call. How do you balance your relationship with traveling to so many events and pro tours and stuff like that in the year?
Go ahead, Spencer.
I was just gonna say Michael's unfair because he's in a perfect relationship that nobody else can compete with.
I
just want to throw that out.
So it's true that high end is great, but what I was going to say is being present when you're present, I think, is probably most of how that works for me.
It might be more fair to say that Michael is the perfect partner. That could be true too.
That's definitely not even close to true. But but trying to just be fair and, you know, treat other people as you would like them to treat you, and I think that generally it can be tough to work that kind of stuff out, but if it's something you care about, then it's a part of who you are and it's a part of your set of priorities and it's going to be a part of your life. And if you have to stop doing that and you don't want to, it's going to make you unhappy in a way that isn't really it's going to damage your relationship with resentment.
One thing that Quentin kind of touched on, and I think this is so cool, is that, you know, if there's one thing about Devonair, High End, and Belly, is that when Michael, Quentin, and I go to Magic events, our significant care. They like want us to do well. They ask us about it. They literally want what makes us happy to happen. And it's a really cool feeling. Like I don't know if these guys feel this way for these two, but I feel lucky that when I go to a PBDQ, Devonair wants me to win. And she is invested in my winning. And that means a lot because Magic is important to me. So
yeah, I mean, I think that, and then that works both ways, right? I mean, when Dev has hobbies that she's passionate about, you want her to be successful in them and you want her to have time to, right? I mean, I think that just comes with caring about someone.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to a little bit of a more lighthearted topic here. Francis wants to know, if we were to take all the hosts, for all of you guys here, which Game of Thrones which Game of Thrones character would each of you be? And I don't know how we should even tackle this one.
Casey would be Littlefinger.
Interesting. Why do you say that?
Because you're a conniving jerk.
And you die in the worm.
He talks out of the side of his mouth. I don't like that.
That's the thing you don't like? That's the part you're like, that's the thing that draws the line.
Yeah, no, I don't care for that behavior. And I think that I'd be one of the characters that, like, gets themselves killed for doing something stupid, like Robb Stark.
That would be you?
I think so. I think I'm pretty, like, I'm reckless. I make a lot of bad choices. I feel like in Game of Thrones world where actions have consequences, I think that it would cost me.
Manny's Cersei, by the way.
I'm honored.
He would do anything at all to take power, including, you know, resurrecting a psychopath into a zombie. Like, that's Manny.
That wouldn't even be a question. That would be, I would go for that actively.
All right. So who is Michael?
Do you want Michael to answer that, or you want me to keep going?
I
think it's all Spencer at this point. It's all you, buddy. And then we'll have them do you. So,
I don't know anything about Michael.
What? What do you mean?
Michael's a good friend of mine, but like, he plays basketball. I know that about him.
He wears a lot of white t-shirts.
He does. He owns a ton of sweat shorts that look like real shorts. I know that about him.
That's cool.
But like, honestly, I think Michael's probably Bronn. Like,
I'm gonna say I'm a character who's dead, so that participant in the show.
Is it Bronn? Is that the name of the character?
Stark?
Bronn of the Blackwater?
He's
yeah.
Just enough to get by. Like, he's also pretty great. I think Quentin's probably Jaime. I think Quentin probably like cares the most out of all of us, and has the most honor out of all of us.
Yeah, that's the sister lover.
Yeah, all right. This was the thing Quentin and Manny would be
noting the important attributes.
That's not where I was going with this.
We're noting the important attributes. Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
All right. Well, now we have to decide, guys. Who is Spencer?
Oh, Robert Baratheon, 1,000,000%.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Why?
You're telling me you're not gonna die drunk in an accident one day?
Oh, I don't know.
That's also Casey. You can make the same argument for both of us. No, man.
I mean, Casey basically made that argument for himself already.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's true. I just assumed that eventually someone will kill me.
All right, so I'm going to move on here. Spencer, what have you learned from podcasting for so long now, with basically 4 years here?
Don't do it. No, you think this is a joke, but, you know, one of the common things that people who aren't in touch with the podcast say is that Spencer is so mean that all of his co-hosts quit, when the truth is that podcasting every single week at the level that Constructive Criticism podcasts at is almost impossible. It is so hard. Like, do not do what we do. Do something way easier and way more fun. Yeah. Because it's tough. It's been a strain on my life. Like, constructive criticism is really, really hard. It's worth it. It's cool for me. But, you know, for Manny and for Casey, it's tough. You know, like, even, for example, me and Quentin would love to do a stream together. We started doing Think Twice Again together, and it's just too hard. Like, singing up your schedule with somebody for a weekly show for even an hour is so tough.
I mean, think about anything you've spent a lot of time trying to do that isn't just like something that's always perfect and fun. It's really hard to do anything every week for an hour, and then when you're now trying to coordinate it with a bunch of other people, right?
It's tough.
Just...
It's Hold on, my girlfriend locked herself out of my house. I have to go let her back in. I'll be right back.
Okay. Quinn, how much would you love to do Think Twice with me, right? Like, it's like a thing that we want to do together that we just can't do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, before when I wasn't dating anyone and, like, I just had a job and then free time all the time, like, I could just play Magic nonstop and then commit to whatever I, you know, whatever. But, like, that's just not reality as you get older, unfortunately.
I would say the other thing that I've learned from my co-host specifically is just how important it is to care about those people, right? Like, Michael probably is annoyed with how often I ask him if he's okay with the podcast. Because it's important to me. Like, dude, how are you doing? Like, I know this is tough. Michael plays a lot more Magic than I've ever played. So for him, it's probably a lot easier. But, like, it's a tough thing to do. You know, I've talked to KYT about this a lot. And KYT struggles with this, but... It's a hard transition to make to do Magic content full time. I wouldn't recommend it, actually.
All right. Well, from one subject to another subject, Alex Kirby asked, if you're a soup, what kind of soup would you be?
Potato bacon, 100%. Potato bacon, sprinkles and cheese on top. That might be literally what's in my body. That's the thing.
Lobster bisque.
Ooh.
Soup is bullshit, so I wouldn't be any kind of soup.
If he could swear, I could swear.
No one can swear. Stop.
Sorry, soup is BS.
There you go.
I would be something good, like pastrami on rye. All
right. I like it.
Clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Ooh, the bread bowl is a nice thing. Nice. I like that.
I mean, I won't eat clam chowder without it, so it's like one thing.
I like it. I like it. Michael, what kind of soup are you, buddy?
I've never contemplated
your tomato soup. The goat. Moving on.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. Man. I hate tomato soup. So
he's
perfect.
Like, he's the chicken. The goat.
The self-loathing would be.
He's spicy tomato. Is what you're saying?
No. No, like Campbell's red and white label, like bullcrap. Find the kind you find in the way back of the cabinet.
There you go. Unpalatable. That's how I would describe it.
I think tomato soup is like the MVP of soups.
It's definitely like
there is no MVP of soups.
I don't like tomato soup.
You're biased. You don't like wet things. It's fine.
I don't like mushy things or things that never. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
You do like grilled cheese, though.
I have something to say.
Soup
about
is
that.
Worthless.
Sorry, Manny, what did you have to say?
Pro tip: stop wasting your life eating soup.
These are the hard things.
It does make no sense on a lot of levels, right? Like, you can't transport it very easily. It's messy. It's got its fallacies for sure.
Definitely. It's
like, mostly just salt water. It's nothing.
Okay. All right, we're moving on. What do you think of the overall health of constructed Magic? I'm going to aim this first part of it at Michael. So, Michael, what do you think about the health of Magic right now?
I think... it's good. I like that Wizards of the Coast seems to be... They seem to be kind of taking steps to get feedback from a bunch of different sources on how their sets are being perceived and how they're working. And I like that they are trying to shore up sort of the R&D playtesting side of things. I think it's an incredibly complex game, and that's what's fun about it. So it's hard to just say, like, oh, well, it's not perfect, so I hate it. I think it's clear they are trying, and that's kind of all you can ask for.
Okay, awesome. So there's a second part to this question, which I'm going to pose to everyone. What would you change if you could request one thing of WotC and they would consider changing it? So I'm going to start a little reverse here. Quentin, what do you think? What would be the one thing you would have them change if you could make a request of them?
I think there should be a Lightning Strike, a Mana Leak, a Doom Blade, probably just those three at all times. Legal and Standard. I think that would help a lot.
What just happened?
He just repeated what you tweeted like 6 hours ago.
What just happened?
He I got literally to go first. Just you got this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal Thunder, man.
No, it's, you're fine. I actually
so much better that way.
I think that when they make the core sets, it should include like a Mana Leak style effect, just like Quentin said, a Doomblade style effect, a Lightning Strike style effect, a Rampant Growth slash Cultivate style effect, and probably some bullcrap white effect that I don't care about because white's terrible. But like, I think that there should be an identity to each color, similar to Hearthstone. Like, I hate Hearthstone. I think it's a terrible game. But I think the one thing that it has right is exactly what Quentin's talking about, which is that they have a very clear identity of what each thing does because of Classic. And I think that it's correct. I think that it makes for a better overall experience for players coming in because it's the same identity every time. And I think that it, for the long-term player, even though some pros don't like it, I think it does add a level of, this is what this is about, so pick the thing that it's about. And I think that it's good. I think Quinn's actually 100% correct. And I hope with the return to core sets that Wizards does that.
Okay. Casey, what would you have them? What would be your request to them?
I don't know. That's hard because I don't really play Magic anymore, so it's hard to be in that headspace. I would say just try to limit things to which there is no good answer. Whether that's worse threats or better answers, I don't know.
All right. It sounds like you like Quentin the Mine idea, right? Like just making the reasonable answers in every set.
Yeah, I mean that's like a long time complaint I think of Magic players is losing to things they think are BS. So that's really all I can offer.
Yep. Manny, what do you think?
No reserve list.
Yeah, I knew someone would say it. I'm glad it was you.
Manny's biggest complaint in Magic is that he can't just play Legacy and Modern on the reg, and I think that's a reasonable complaint. Like, he doesn't want to have to invest in Standard all the time. He wants to be able to just play whatever format he wants, and I think that's reasonable. Like, it's if they just printed what Quentin and I are talking about, right? Like these, like dual lands and these cards in every single core set, and they were just in Standard, I think Magic would be better for it for both Manny, Quentin, myself, and like all the competitive players, all the casual players. I think it'd just be a better game.
Michael, what do you think?
I think those are all really interesting. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about how I wish things were different. I would be curious to see a world. I understand why they don't like printing the same answers all the time or the same cards all the time, right? Because they just want formats to feel different. But I do think that it also, so it can be good in that things always feel fresh, but it can be also be bad in that when you don't have sort of stable baselines, you're too far away from them. And like, so if you don't print Mana Leak, right, or you don't print Doomblade, without these just like good universal answers, it's way more likely that cards that wouldn't necessarily be problematic end up being problematic. So I can kind of see both sides of that. I'm interested to see what a return to core set signals, but my guess would be that it probably signals a return to more generically powerful answers like that.
I think that that's what it can signal, right? Like,
I would be surprised if it didn't.
Are they bringing back white borders?
Yeah.
No. What, no?
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Oh, they almost had me. I almost got back in. Yeah. So close.
Well, Manny, you can buy double sleeves that white border your cards for you.
That sounds ridiculous.
I actually thought about whiteboarding all my full art Zendikar lands. How do you guys feel about that?
Love it.
That's gross. Do it with an eraser?
I was just going to have Casey do it, so I don't know how he's going to do it, but I was just going to ask him.
Wow. Sounds awesome.
I have 25 of every basic that I like, 25 of a single basic in Zendikar. I was like, well, I'm just use these all the time. Might as well have them whiteboarded.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Actually. For a second, I thought you were talking about me. And I was like, well, if you asked me to do it, it would just never happen for you.
Sorry,
I think you should do it and then Sharpie a black border back onto them.
Ooh, that's so good. That's some Platinum Pro stuff right there. All right, well, let's move on to the Training Grounds of this episode. The Training Grounds is celebrating your achievement. You know, achievement is a thing done successfully, typically by effort, courage, or skill. And that's what we really want to talk about. Yeah.
Did you just read a definition there?
I did. Some people might not put it as definition. They might put another word above it.
Yeah, it says here you're supposed to read a detention.
So behind the scenes, Spencer did the show notes, and I read it, and at first I read definition, and I went back, I'm like, oh, it's detention, and I was like, is there another definition for this word? So I Googled it, and eventually I messaged Spencer, I'm like, hey, did you mean you want me to read the definition? And he's like, yeah. So
I plead the fifth. I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry, I got screenshots. So let's move on to talking about this training ground. So
really, really quick, so obviously I wrote out the shows, but you know, a thing done successfully, typically by effort, courage, or skill, is a pretty big deal for 200 episodes of a podcast. This wouldn't have been possible with other people here. I also want to give a special shout out to Matt Kling, who I also think that this podcast wouldn't be possible without. Matt Kling came up to me a few days ago. He was like, dude, I could not have done what you've done with this podcast. You've done unreal. And I told him, I was like, I couldn't have done it without you. And I just want to give a special shout out to Matt, who's not here today, and Kyle, who was kind of one of the inspirations for doing this show. Thank you to those two. You know, whether it's I can't believe we're here, and I want to give a special shout out to those guys. So
awesome. Well, shout out to you guys. Wish you could have made it, but life does happen. For episode 400, we'll make sure to get them on. Easy peasy.
Oh.
So moving on, let's talk about what feels so good about accomplishing an achievement. And Spencer, I want to start with you with this.
You know, I think about a few things in my life. I remember the first time I got promoted, I was a bagger at Smith's. I got promoted to cashier. It came with like a $2 raise. I was like the best bagger by a significant margin at my work. And it was like my hard work had paid off. And you know, that comes through magic, right? When you think about the times where you've worked really hard to improve at something at Magic and you see the fruits of your labor, the thing about accomplishing an achievement is that you've done something through your hard work. And seeing that feels very different from getting lucky. It feels very different from, you know, the adrenaline rush you get from something else. It's a very different feeling. I think for me, and I know for Manny, it's like the thing that drives us. It's the thing that separates the things that we love to do from the things that we like to do. And I like seeing the fruits of my labor. So that's my answer.
All right, Michael, what about you?
I think, like Spencer said, it's validation for anything you'd probably describe as an achievement is something important to you, something that you spend a lot of time. And I think just having your effort validated is really great. Whether that's other people seeing your work, like in the case of a promotion, or, you know, just anything like that. I think just being better than you were before at something you worked really hard at and getting some kind of recognition for that is a really good feeling.
Awesome. Quentin, what about you?
Yeah, for me, man, I think I spent like 3 years before I qualified for my first Pro Tour, but man, I wanted it for so long. And when I finally got there, it was just like incredibly surreal. I was in Europe and I was like shaking hands with my favorite player, Reed Duke, and then facing off against pros and stuff. And it was just incredible. And thinking about it for so long and just wanting it so bad and having it finally happen, it was almost like a dream. Like it's just really cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we might've lost Manny and Spencer. We're going to see about that, but we're going to ask Casey here about what was your moment.
So what's good about accomplishing an achievement is just that, like, you've done something, you know, no matter what it is, putting in that work, whatever it is, like, just the feeling of satisfaction of a job well done or a job completed or accomplished, able to either see it or feel it, or, you know, if you get some sort of monetary gain from it or other type of gain, it's amazing. But just knowing that you had to put in work to do something, and you did it.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, so we seem to have lost them, and the entire setup has gone screwy because of that. So I'm sorry for this. We're having some technical issues with Spencer's Comcast. I'm sure he'll rant about it on hashtag would that be good. May's at his house right now, too. Okay, we're over there for some Labor Day stuff, so that's why both of them are gone. I'm so sorry for that. We're going to keep going, and we're going to deal with what we can, because the podcast listeners, they don't know what's happening. It's all great for them. So what kind
of... The show must go on.
Exactly. And really, I think like we just upgrade a little bit. I mean, come on. Don't you guys feel that way? So what kind of achievements do you typically celebrate, and how do you celebrate them? So what are some of the things that you've celebrated the most? And then, Quentin, I want to start with you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly... I mean, it sounds cliche, but I celebrate wins the most. Like, my couple of PTQ wins or my PPTQ wins, like, those are what I celebrate. And I usually do it with taking my girlfriend out to a nice dinner, because we're going to go on a fun, you know, plane ride to an awesome place or a road trip together. And we get a really nice dinner and have some good drinks. And, you know, we just blow off some steam and we kind of earned a good time.
Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I think a lot of kind of the same feeling as Quentin, but just usually just sort of just the validation with just kind of sitting and reflecting on, like, qualifying for a Pro Tour specifically is just such a good feeling. Just kind of like being able to think, okay, did that, and like the first one is great, and then being able to do it again, and just like just having that feeling of kind of being at peace and satisfaction is really great.
Casey, what about you?
So I think that Spencer and I like to do champagne toasts both before and after actually achieving something. So that's, you know, kind of the normal system. No, but usually, almost always, for any type of achievement, no matter how small, it's like it's good to toast it and feel like you've done something, because it makes it, you know, sweeter to have done it, and makes you looking more and more forward to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep. So let's move on and talk about one little more thing here. Then we're probably going to take a quick break for the guys to come back here. And we'll come back to there for Spencer and Michael's answer here. What was your biggest magic accomplishment, and how did it feel? And Casey, I want to start with you on this one.
Me, it would probably be qualifying for that Pro Tour in Hawaii. You know, that came with some money because I went on Magic Online, so I got to go to Hawaii for free, all expenses paid. Mm-hmm. And that was just, you know, a super great life experience, and it felt like something I'd had to work a lot for to get. And I was really glad to have it.
Mm-hmm. Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I think that was the first Pro Tour I qualified for as well. And it's just such a good feeling of validation. Like, it's like you worked really hard, and just playing an event like that and having it go right for the first time is such kind of an incredible experience. Because obviously, like, you know, if you're playing a PTQ or whatever, you probably didn't win your first one, right? So you've had these events where either you've been close or they've gone badly. And just having it be, I don't know what number that would have been, but having it go where just things go smoothly and you win most of your matches, and, you know, you're playing for the invite and you realize you're going to win, and kind of that realization when you're like, oh man, I actually can't lose this game is just really cool.
Quentin, what about you?
Yeah, these are going to be pretty boring answers. My answer is certainly the first PTQ that I won, but I mean, it was awesome. I was qualified for Brussels, and I was super excited. I always wanted to go to Europe, and just like what Michael's saying is, when you've got the game locked up and you know you're gonna win, it's just not official yet. Like, it's so cool. It's just the coolest feeling there is.
Because you rarely realize that, right? Like, you don't realize it in the context. When you start, like, you'll sometimes think, okay, I'm probably gonna win this game playing like some random round, but when you realize, like, oh man, you know, it's game three or whatever, and I can't imagine a sequence that is gonna get my opponent out of this.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, all I have to do is like attack.
Yeah, it's the kind of the best feeling in the world, right, where you're like, I can't lose this game, already won. Like, you're just like, there's this moment of, right, like, you've won, but you can't celebrate it yet. So you're just like tingling with anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just incredible.
I definitely had that moment too with my first one where it's like, all right, don't screw this up. And it's like, oh, I can't. Just go. And you win. So, all right. So we're gonna take a break real quick and we'll be right back with the guys. All right. And we are back. So we had a little bit of technical issues. We're back though. We had to get Manny changed. You know, he just wasn't feeling that attire. It wasn't great for the podcast. He had to step
in. He looks so good in that. So that's my actual favorite shirt that I own that Manny is wearing. And I'm a little jealous right now because he looks good.
It matches your wall too.
This is all pre-planned. So
well, we're going to throw it back to Spencer and Manny here for these last two questions that we went over. And Spencer, starting with you, what was your biggest magic accomplishment and how did it feel?
I have two.
We'll pick one.
People are going to give me so much BS for this, but it's Quentin qualifying for his first Pro Tour and Casey qualifying for his first Pro Tour. These guys are my best friends and I'm going to cry. It meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I told you to put that away.
For those of you who can't watch, Spencer is trying not to cry, so he's messing with his fidget spinner. But, I think it definitely comes through on the show how much you care about your friends, and I don't think anyone's going to make fun of you for caring about your friends.
Well, I was going to, but now because you said that, I'm going to feel like a jerk.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Casey was ready to attack you, and he's like, oh, wait, it's me? Go on.
I think that when I look back at, like, my friends qualifying for their Pro Tours, so I remember, you know, Quentin. I wasn't there for Quentin's, because he was in another state, but I was following really closely. But, you know, with Michael, I remember Michael, I think it was his second Pro Tour, just him standing up and giving me a hug. And, you know, Casey, I was there for the whole entire tournament. And they were bigger than mine.
Well, thanks, man. That means a lot to me. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, same here, man. And actually, mine, the first one I won was in Salt Lake, and I went straight over to your place, and you gave me a big hug, and we had pizza and drinks together.
It's true. It's all true.
It's true. All of it.
Yep. Manny, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. My biggest accomplishment was the very first time I won FNM. So it seems dumb and, like, really small, but that was, like, the very first building block of success to, like, let me know that I could just, like, win stuff. You know what I mean? You can just win stuff. It's not a big deal. You just go, you play, smash somebody. It's nothing. Like, that's all you do.
Awesome. Great. And so let's move on to next. How did you celebrate that, Manny?
FNM? Like, yeah. Not at all.
I love it.
I didn't do a thing. I probably took my crappy promo and threw it away.
Yeah.
Casey and I, there's a few. So, with both of Michael's last two qualifications, I was standing over his shoulder as it happened. Michael and I have gotten a little close through this podcast, and I remember him making an insane play with Bant Eldrazi to qualify for his second Pro Tour. And the look that Michael gave me as he won that match, you know, we just hugged each other and we Michael outplayed the crap out of his opponent in that match. And the other one that Michael qualified for his third Pro Tour, I mean, Michael got really lucky and we both knew it and it didn't matter. Like, we were still, I mean, Michael, like, dude, you're a champion and you deserve both of those.
It's funny how sometimes you get to play well and sometimes you just get to,
get there.
Yeah. I don't even remember the plays as much in the second one as just the most recent one, as much as the drafting process where
yeah,
it's like deck was not great, not great, not great, and then
all of a sudden insane. Like you just you got hooked up. It was Michael got lucky in his third one, but like when you play as well as Michael is throwing, then that's like why my biggest Magic accomplishment is my friend, is because you build on top of you stand on the shoulders of giants, right? Like I'm only as good as the others lift me up to be, and I'm only as good as I lift them up to be. And, you know, between all of my friends and all we've done together, watching Michael, watching Quentin, watching Casey, watching Austin, you know, qualifying for the Pro Tour myself, it's all about celebrating the things that you can control and then sometimes celebrating things that you can't control. You know, I think that Casey and I have a little celebration that Casey doesn't play Magic anymore, but you know, we were on the champagne when we win, whiskey when we lose plan for a while. And we drank a lot of champagne together, and it felt really good.
Yeah, we've also drank a lot of whiskey together. Just a good time, too. Like, it's fine.
Good times all around.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think that attitude, right? It's just like we're going to have fun, win or lose. If we win, we'll be really stoked about it. And if we lose, well, you know, that's okay, too. It happens.
Yeah, it's sort of an adaptation of the Chris Bakula system, which is either you deserve ice cream or you need it.
Yeah. I'm fully on board with that.
Right.
To be fair, Casey and I have developed a weird taste for champagne that we didn't have before we started this process.
That's true.
Do you think it's so, like Mason was talking about his dislike for cats because he's allergic to them. Do you think you like champagne mostly because you just associate it with winning now?
Oh, man.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
It's just,
so deep. Like victory.
I mean, yeah, it's like kind of gross.
We were at a GP where like we were watching Patrick Chapin like at the champagne room with like a big bottle just chugging it. And Casey and I are like, what a psychopath. And Casey and I have now both experienced the chugging champagne.
So first of all, I want to clarify, we weren't in the champagne room. That's something different. That we'll talk about that later. we were in a bar, and Patrick Chapin was just having champagne for one, like for no reason, just because that's the way he lives his life. And he's just like drinking a bottle of champagne.
Awesome. He and Josh seemed to be in a separate room than us.
Yeah, it was like kind of like a little balcony area of the bar. Yeah, it was just funny because like the champagne room means something else.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Awesome. Great. Talk to all your kids about that at home. So let's move on to the next question. How does 200 episodes of a podcast you have poured your time and soul to and your dedication feel? And Casey, I want to start with you. Even though you're not on the podcast and playing Magic currently, how does it feel to look back on this thing that you've been such a big part of as 200 episodes?
No, and definitely, even though I'm not doing it now, I've been on a lot. We were trying to figure it out. It's somewhere in the 145, 150 range, so...
I'll give you a number.
Well, according to Reddit, it's less than 50, so...
That's...
Me?
No, just... He's me? I'm just
the jerk head that said that all of my co-hosts quit after 50 episodes is what he's
referring to. Oh, I see.
They all hate you. That's why they came back for this episode. Clearly.
I think literally only Manny is the only person who hasn't been on 50 episodes, so...
We'll get it there. Don't worry.
Matt still claimed time. We did two tours to do it, but yeah. It's good though. It's amazing. I'm actually surprised. It feels shocking to me every time there's one of these milestones come up because it seems like they really flew by. The first year especially, like we kind of had a little bit more of a low-key celebration. We celebrated the first year and then we celebrated 100, and those both felt like they took no time at all to get to, really. It was a lot of work when I was on the show, but when you're doing something like that's kind of a labor of love like that, where you're doing it because you like doing it, it's really, it feels like nothing at all, like in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
No, I totally understand what you mean. Quentin, what about you, man?
Yeah, it's really cool to have been a part of this podcast and see how much it has grown. Like the patrons are just awesome. That has grown so much since I have left, and like fans will still ask about me every once in a while, and that feels really cool, and they'll still be pretty excited when I take down a tournament or whatever. And you know, that it's really cool to see where this podcast has gone and to know that I've been a part of it.
Awesome. Manny, what about you?
Oh, well, I guess it's two. I got two answers to that, just like Spencer. So one, I'm really proud of it.
So Spencer came to me at a time when he was in a bind, and he was like, oh, will you do this for me? And I was like, I don't even know, like, Magic at all. Like, I don't want to do this. And he's like, you're my friend, please. You'd be great. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it for you. So for a while, it was just me and him. And it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time. I felt like I helped this podcast exist in the way it is now, and that's a really good feeling. Yep. The other part of that is that I am – what's the word? An egomaniac.
A wild card.
That too. Both of those things. And having fans and people love me and adore me and ask about me and talk to me. Oh, that's why I got up in the morning. Felt so good.
Yeah, when you have your own cult, it really propels you to be the best you can be, right?
I mean, I don't even have to be. That's the perfect thing. I'm like, already the best. I'm already the best. That's the whole point of a cult.
Sorry, Michael. How about you?
It surprises me. It seems so long. Like,
I try being on all of the episodes.
Well,
but
that's
one,
what
bro.
I. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. 200 seems like such a big number.
Yes,
that's like actually 4 years of doing a podcast, and it's kind of crazy to think that. All that time is spent, like, if you think about all the time that actually gets put into that, it's a lot, and it doesn't always feel like it, you know, when you're doing it one show at a time or whatever. It's not always like an incredibly huge commitment each and every week, but over the span of 4 years, it's a lot of dedication, and it's a lot of working through tough situations, like Spencer going out of your way to get Manny as a co-host when maybe Manny isn't sure this is something he can do, and just having the vision to continue something when it's not always clear what the best way forward is really impressive to me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Spencer, what about you, buddy?
200 feels like a lot of help.
I'm gonna go give him a hug.
Yeah, so as you don't know, Spencer and Manny are in the same house right now, and Spencer, you know, with emotion, is a little emotional, which is definitely fair. You've poured a lot of heart and soul and time into this show. I think it really cares.
And he's really coming here.
Yeah,
he's also taking the fidget spinner. Where's the hug?
There you go.
So 200 feels important for a few reasons. First of all, Casey, Kyle, and Matt. I'll start with Kyle. Kyle and I had a vision of, like, a thing that would make players better at Magic the Gathering. And we talked a lot about that together. And while Cole only lasted for one episode, he's a huge part of this podcast. And Kyle Fabo, you should meet you all on Twitter. We really appreciate him. And then Casey and Matt. Matt with two stints, Casey with two stints on the show. They poured a lot into this, whether it was their constant want to talk about Brainstorm or their, you know, their consistency of, you know, anytime we'll do a Decks of History episode, I'm sure Matt will want to come on and, you know.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
And seriously?
Then, oh, there we go. We're good. Oh,
okay,
we're good.
Okay, good.
He's back.
No, he's gone.
No.
Spencer, who's gone? Back?
You're back.
You.
Back.
You, who's
you,
gone?
Back. You, it was you. No one. No one was gone.
All right, I'm back. And then there's Quinn and Michael. Where did I leave off? Did I give everybody their compliments?
You were talking about Matt and his Decks of History.
All right. Well, yeah. Matt will come back anytime we want to do a Decks of History. Casey has given more to the show than anybody but me, and we couldn't have done this show without those two. And then I put these people together for a reason. So, and then I put Michael and Quentin together as like the experts of the show, for a couple of different reasons. I don't know anybody dedicated to technical play the way that Quentin is. Quentin doesn't have an opinion about things. Quentin has, I've played X number of matches with this deck, and this is the deck I'm going to play because I played X number of matches with it. And Michael is also that times a couple. That's not a disrespect to Quentin. It's just Michael just plays that much more Magic than me and Quentin. And those two are experts. If Quentin has played a deck or Michael has played a deck and you talk to them about it, you're going to get an expert opinion. It's going to be a pro level opinion. And then there's Manny, and Manny is the best podcaster I know, bar none. He's the best. I am 1/10 of the podcaster as Manny. There's a reason that he's people's favorite, and it doesn't have to do with anything other than the fact that he's personable. He knows how to talk to people. He knows how to just say what's on his mind, and he is the best Magic the Gathering podcaster of all time. And yeah, people miss him. So, and 200 wouldn't be possible without these people. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. Manny, what is your favorite CCMTG memory?
Probably when me and Casey and Spencer opened up, and we were using NPR voice. Man, that was, I think dude, about that all the
you
time.
Guys, all you the guys, time. Like, demanded that I open the show on an NPR voice, and then we did that voice for, like, another 3 minutes.
It was really fun.
Yeah, that's really good times.
Yeah, everybody, like, instantly recognizes that, because nobody talks like that. Apparently, besides, you know, like, people who have, like, what, doctorates and...
face right into the microphone, kind of talk like this.
Yeah, tonight we're going to be discussing the merits of... Yeah. So weird, so soft, so intimate.
Yeah, sort of monotone, but somehow very caring.
I would, like, say it's sensual.
Yeah, borderline, especially the way I do it.
It's like you call the... It's like you call the hotline.
Sorry,
it's like you call the hotline, but they're giving you magic advice.
Exactly. Michael hits right on the nail on the head here. We're going to be talking about teamer energy with a splash for black for a certain scarab god. Michael, why don't you talk about that?
It seems like this might just be a better tone for the show moving forward. I mean, I would listen to this as I go to sleep every night.
What if this was a Patreon goal?
I really think that
we need
to upgrade our collective microphone quality before this will ever work in the long term.
And but like there has to be like almost like a city gas leak to get this sort of calmness in your voice, to be able to talk for hours about something without even the vaguest hint of emotion.
And that's why NPR is the goat. All right, Quentin, what about you?
Yeah, my favorite memories of CCMTG are just having Spencer and Casey over to my place when we'd record all here, and we'd be just hanging out, drinking coffee, maybe having a breakfast burrito, and we had...
Oh, I like how you said coffee there.
Well, I mean, coffee with stuff in it, right? Like, I mean, come on. But, yeah, just hanging out, and we'd have a little football on in the background, and sometimes when we had set reviews, we did it for like 5 hours. I'm not exactly sure if that's...
Those are my worst CCMTG memories.
Yeah, those were... Especially like the Theros one, the first one that we did.
That was,
it was like...
That was...
Yeah, I think it was...
You didn't get to watch Johnny Football during those.
Yeah, it was like 8 hours long, though.
Like, you guys took eight hours to do an episode?
Dude, we reviewed every single card for like more than 3 minutes.
Did you review them for limited and constructed?
Yes. No. That was
just constructed. House.
So eventually somebody asked us, they're like, hey, you know how you could improve the set review is if you reviewed them for limited and constructed. And I was like, okay. And then we did it at Quentin's house once, and we had to move rooms because his roommate got so tired of us talking that we literally had to go to another room to record.
We had to record that one over multiple days.
Yeah, wasn't that a three-parter?
It was 2 days of podcast. It was horrible. We never did it again.
I'm so glad I never did that.
I think the irony is I was a listener back then, and I think I got like 4 minutes in, and I was like, this is like the most atrocious thing I've ever tried to listen to in my whole life. And I changed it.
No, I mean, it was horrible. I don't disagree with you.
You got 4 whole minutes of listenership out of it, I think.
That's so good. All right. Casey, what is your favorite CCMTG moment?
I mean, there's so many. It's hard to pick. I think it would probably the single most like defining moment was just having being in a bar in Albuquerque and meeting Huey Jensen and having him be like, oh, constructive criticism. Yeah, I listened to that. Which wasn't true, but he listened to it once. And it was just like this moment of like, we made it. We got there.
That's so we're probably once more than you'd expect.
Here's the actual thing that happened. So Owen's walking past me, and I was like, hey, Owen, come have a drink with me. And he was like, nah, man, I'm good. And I was like, Owen, let me buy you a drink. And he was like, yep. So Owen and Dewey jump over the railing and come to us. And I'm like, hey, what do you guys want? And we buy them drinks. And they're like, and then they start shaking our hands. And they're like, I'm like, hey, I'm Spencer. I do a podcast called Constructive Criticism. And Huey Jensen, it's out of the blue, is like, oh, I listened to that show. And Casey and I like tilt our heads and we're like, what? Like, well, I've listened to it. I listened to the John Finkel episode. And we were like brand new podcasters. This had to be like 20 episodes in. And
yeah,
we felt like the nut.
Like rock stars, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. All right. Michael, did I ask you what your favorite moment is?
I think I got a little bit. I don't think so, but I'm trying to. Doing the podcast, there was a weekend where Casey and I both qualified for a pro tour in the same weekend, both for the first time. Doing the podcast after that was sweet.
I think I remember listening to that one.
That was just like a man.
That was like that all high fives podcast.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like we're just gonna, you know, sit here and basically I'll talk you up, you talk me up. Great.
There was a short time in which the active co-hosts of MDG podcast, Constructed Criticism was for a short time the only podcast where every active co-host had qualified for a pro tour.
There you go.
That was thanks to Casey and Michael.
Awesome. Spencer, what's your favorite CCMDG memory?
Probably Quentin Falk qualifying for his first pro tour. It's probably my favorite Magic memory, to be honest. When you play Magic with somebody as much as I played Magic with Quentin, when they are successful, you feel successful. It doesn't feel like a separation at all. I feel like Quentin probably felt the same way when I qualified for the next pro tour. Like, it, you know, there was a couple of months there where Quentin and I felt like we couldn't lose a match together, and that was some good. That felt good podcasting. Like it just. I think that we had like won or top aided or like everything that we did, Quentin and I were just crushing. That felt really good. That was great.
Yeah, it felt like we were really building the podcast.
Oh, it was crazy. Like, I remember Quentin wins a PPTQ the weekend after I won the RPTQ, and we walk out of there and somebody comes up to us and they're like, have you guys lost a match in 2 weeks in like 3 months? And we were like, no. I mean, other than Quentin at the last RPQ, not really. Like, like we hadn't. And then Quentin literally, like, the next weekend wins the next RPQ. It was insane. That's my favorite CCMDG moments.
That's awesome. Well, I had a moment earlier where I was supposed to comment, and I didn't, so I'm going to jump in now. So my favorite CCMDG memory is back when I'm a listener. And I'm at work, and for a short while I worked at a gas station at night while doing other stuff. And I'm listening, and Casey decides to mention how pile shufflers are terrible people, and they should all like.
It's a character flaw.
It's a character. That's what it was. It's a character flaw.
I was gonna say,
I distinctly
flaw
remember this.
Yes, that's what it was. Character flaw, and I lost it because I hate it when people pile shuffle. And I was like, yes, this guy gets it, and he's just like berating them, and I couldn't stop laughing. It was like my favorite memory, so that's mine. But let's move on to the end here. We're wrapping up the show. We actually haven't been running that long. I'm pretty proud of us. So this is the last little bit, a chance to say something to listeners for the guys that are no longer hosting the show. We're going to start here with Quentin. Quentin, if you had to say one last thing to the listeners or, you know, a sending off thing for them to improve, how would it be? How and what would it be?
The biggest thing for me to say is just keep doing what you're doing, guys. Like, it's because of you guys that the show is where it's at and lasted this long and that it's growing. So just keep fueling your energy into those awesome Facebook groups that Spencer's created, and it sounds like lots of listeners have started having win-and-ins for GP top eights. I think a couple of them have top eighted, if my memory serves. But
we've had some good success recently.
Yeah, just keep doing that. That is so awesome for the show, and it's really cool to see everyone grow together.
Yep. Manny, how about you?
I would say keep listening to the show. When I was trying to get better, I felt like I got a lot of really great advice on it. Really a way to step up, kind of how you mentally prepare for the game, how you play it. Like, it's cheesy and tacky, but I mean, I think if you're trying to become a better player, CCMTG will show you the way.
Casey, what about you?
It says don't be afraid to fail, to try something that you haven't done before. Just because you've never won a PPTQ, don't believe that you can't do it. Don't be afraid to try to, you know, do something outside of your comfort zone, because that's how you're going to succeed and grow.
And don't pile shuffle.
Yeah, and just seriously, I will smack the taste out of your mouth.
It's just dumb. It's just a waste of your time.
Yeah, it's a waste of everyone's life.
Yeah, you're better than that. You deserve the best possible you, and that involves not pile shuffling.
Exactly. He gets it. This is somebody who knows.
Yeah, I'm carrying on your legacy. All right.
Thanks, Spencer. Mason.
You're welcome. Spencer, wrap us up, man.
I can't believe we're at 200 episodes. We're many weeks past when I thought we'd hit 200. But that's because of the success. You know, why do we skip episodes? Why do we skip episodes of Limited Time Only and Good Gender Criticism? It's because Danny and Michael are crushing it. They are in a place where sometimes they have to miss weeks. And I couldn't be prouder of where the show is. You know, it was probably around episode 40 or 50 where we changed the direction of the show in a big way, where it didn't become about magic anymore. It became about, like, what are we doing to improve ourselves as people? And Quentin was a huge part of that. Like, he started reading self-improvement books. He wanted to incorporate it into the podcast. I encouraged that. Casey and I were looking for new jobs. We were trying to improve ourselves as people. As Manny joined the show, he realized how much magic was helping him in his career. And this show has become a show about self-improvement, more so than magic. It has a focus on magic. And I really like the identity of this show. I hope that people realize that we are not about just getting better at Magic the Gathering. It is a show about that, but the things that we're about are applying yourself and making a difference and taking an active role in your own improvement in whatever you're doing. And I couldn't be prouder of these co-hosts that I've had. I don't know how I got so lucky to surround myself with these people. You know, Quentin, Matt Kling, Manny, and Casey, they were the groomsmen at my wedding. Like, they are my literal best friends. And Michael has been exactly what Quentin and I thought he would be for this show. And we couldn't be prouder. I couldn't be happier. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well said. All right, so if you like this episode and can't wait to listen to more of them with these awesome co-hosts, you can support us on Patreon. Thanks to the effort of Patreon, we're really able to keep the show and keep it always improving and do things like look into things like Zencast or whatnot to improve the audio quality, do these live stream episodes and whatnot. And
did you just like plug another thing that I haven't even looked at yet?
I might be making a suggestion on air. Who knows? So that's just one little thing there. You know, we're very close to robot dinosaurs. And I feel like if we're ever going to get to robot dinosaurs, Ixalan is our block.
If we get to riding robot dinosaurs into GPs, will you come back to Magic the Gathering?
What am I, stupid? For sure.
Yeah. It just feels
Does
like...
Does your record really matter at that point? Like,
yeah, hold on. If people are riding robot dinosaurs, I feel like I'm not playing Magic ever again. Like, I have stuff to do.
And Manny makes a good point.
So what we're saying is we'll write it in, Manny will write it out.
They'll write it in.
Manny will write it through downtown, terrorizing small children.
Perfect. You can find the show each and every week on the Constructive Criticism podcast channel. Each show has its own individual channel now, so you can look up Common Knowledge, which is the Pop-Up Podcast, Limited Time Only, and Constructive Criticism. That way, each of them come to your feed and you never miss an episode. You can find us on the Facebook group on Constructed Criticism Family. Just join if you're not trying to sell Ray-Ban, Spencer will let you in. And then if you're a patron, there's the patron-only Facebook group, Constructed Critics. It's a place where, you know, you get to talk about stuff.
$5 or more.
$5 or more. $5. So you can also find us on the Discord, which you can find on the website and on the Constructed Family group. And you can join the clan. Here we go. I'm going to get this. With Spencer 13.8. Dev. Is it Dev? Yeah. Boom. On MTGO. You message him. He's going to be like, hey, how long have you been listening? And he's going
to
add you.
I don't know where Quentin is, but I'm trying to point at him. You can also message Quentin.
Yeah, I don't know what Quentin says.
So tell me Quentin's username, Mason.
U-R-T-H-S-T-R-Y-P-E.
Oh!
Yeah, right. It's Earthstripe, right?
First just try.
That's the normal way you spell Earthstripe.
Yeah, how did you not know?
Oh, man. And then let's move on to the end with hashtag, would that be good? If you tweet it, Spencer will read it. So.
Whoa. That's way too much commitment. I didn't say that I would read it. I believe the quote is, if you tweet it, we'll read it.
Oh, but you normally read them. I mean, we can all share the caring here.
I'm just saying that, like, I'm not going to read all of them for the rest of eternity. Oh, man. I'm going to cry for some of these. All right.
Well, that's fine.
I already cried a lot this episode, so who cares? All right. Where are we starting here, Michael? You're the expert on this.
Yeah, I can use the calendar function on my thing. We're starting on August 29th.
Okay. Kyle, are you sure?
Yeah, that's where it should be.
Because I don't know that I don't know what Adrian is talking about.
Well, just read it, and I'm sure I can tell you. We can figure it out together.
So Adrian says she goes after everyone in that video. She took an L and turned it into a W. Hashtag with the good. He's obviously talking about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he's talking about Taylor Swift's new music video. Look what you made me do.
The music video is way better than the song. First of all, the song is garbage. Don't listen to it.
Okay,
this is the same person not pulling punches like, there.
Says Kesha's the best. This is what I'm hearing.
Well, that's because Kesha is the best, Manny. Back
you
off.
Guys are dumb.
Casey, can you give us your opinion of Kesha?
She's a delight. This new album is not really doing it for me, but Kesha as a whole is a national treasure.
There you go. Now, Spencer, I have a follow-up question. What do you feel about Taylor's newest song that she just dropped, Ready For It?
I've only listened to it once. I don't have a strong opinion. Oh. It's not as good as Kesha's new album, which is Kesha's best album, despite
nothing Casey's as good as Kesha's saying. New album. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, let's be real. Like, John Finkel one day wishes to be as good as that. But let's move on to the next tweet.
Yeah. This feels like a weird thing to compare.
What are you talking? It's the only thing. All right.
At CK Podcast MTG has a new co-host. He's daring and wrestles lion in his free time. Welcome aboard at SOV Mason. Hashtag MTG. Hashtag Popper. Hashtag would that be good? Before we get to anything.
He wrestles
we
pineapple
need
pizza.
Manny change his name to at Rain Manny. We made Michael change his name to at Magic Mike MTG. Quentin and Casey, what would you like Mason to change his Twitter handle to? We'll start with you, Casey.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Mason, hold on. Let me percolate
Mason
on this.
Is not available.
Well, I mean, let's see. Mason, the thing that comes to mind is Jar, and I kept trying to think of like
Stone. You know,
oh man, is Mason Jar available? Let us.
No, that
look.
One's stupid. That's bad. Don't take that.
Should be.
I like that.
I'd say Pineapple Pizza MTG.
Oh, don't do that. You also should. Don't get a vote.
How about something Stone Rain Mason, something like that, like.
What?
We're incorporated stonemason. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for this. Usually these have to come up a little bit more organically. They're hard to force.
Sure. Masonry jar.
Michael, you don't
Mason
get a vote.
There you go.
Ooh, masonry jar is pretty good.
That is a good one.
Quentin, what do you think?
Oh, just get that real quick.
Yeah, the mason jar sounds good to me, but apparently that one's not so hot. Nobody else likes
it. What is the name? What is the is it memory jar? Mason's memory jar.
Well, masonry. How did you say it, Michael? Masonry jar.
Masonry memory jar.
That's so long. I would never be able to spell that correctly.
It's got like 100 M's in it.
Yeah.
So to be fair, So Manny is leaving Common Knowledge for the time being, and we support him in that. Manny has dedicated himself a lot to constructive criticism and developing new shows on the network, and we really appreciate him. But Mason is going to fill in for Manny, and we really appreciate what Mason's doing and what Manny has done. Like I said before, Manny is the best Magic podcaster, and he will be missed. But we appreciate Mason and his chance to fill in that role, even though he'll fail because Manny's the best.
That settles that.
Yeah. Easy, lemon squeezy.
At Esper Shardmage says, "No more buys. Hashtag with the good SCCMTG." This bugged me so bad. Did anybody else bugged by this?
Yeah, I got off Twitter for a day because of it. Because I knew it was coming.
Wait, what?
This was the biggest BS, like, ever on Twitter. So, first of all, you will not see pros at Magic events without buys. So, if you enjoy watching Grand Prix, you cannot get rid of buys. Second of all...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah.
Silver Pro, say, Michael Hendrickmarker.
If you actually want to, if you really feel like you need to make a change, just make your tiebreakers not start until round four.
Right.
That actually seems like a pretty good change.
That seems like a good compromise to me.
I can understand the, like, cashing segment, right? Where you're like, okay, the buys need to not count towards tiebreakers, but, like, the idea of not, of, like, making these players. And you just screw them over so much. Also, maybe even the cash thing is a problem. But, like, to be honest, does it really matter? Like, after you get two buys, it's not that big of a difference. It's a big difference once you're in the very, very late rounds. By the time you're getting there, you, like, it's time for you to take your next step in Magic. And I feel like the buys are a clear indicator of that, and I really hate this question.
This feels like a – yeah, I didn't even know this was, like, a take people had in Magic right now.
All the players were talking about it.
This is crazy talk. I think that there's, like, so many other problems that Magic has and Tournament Magic has that, like, if buys are an issue, like, they probably are pretty far down the list. And
like, at the bottom.
Like, this is, like, a pretty stupid thing to, like, waste breath about, I think.
Yeah, like, imagine how much better GPs would be if people couldn't pile shuffle. Then, like, we don't worry about buys.
Right, and there were no draws, and, like, there's a lot of things that...
Yeah, like coverage is a big complaint people have, right? That's boring, and it's because they all power shuffle for 5 minutes. And they didn't power shuffle for 5 minutes. It'd be like Hearthstone.
So new hashtag Finance Friday is live at constructivecriticism.com, sharing the link, hashtag them good. This week we crack a box of Modern Masters 17, and I unveil my Patreon for content. Alex K is our finance writer on constructivecriticism.com. You should definitely support him. Check him out. He has his link there. He's great. I have an app called Audiofy where I listen to his content every week. Conceding because my opponent gave me advice. Hashtag would that be good?
No way. Use that advice to crush him.
What? Next. What is happening?
I
want to know the extent of this event. Like, this could be good. Like, you could be like, this advice changed my Magic career. You deserve this win. Or this could be a bad decision. I don't know. We need more info. Is this Barrel Roller?
Yeah, Barrel. Sure.
Tweet back to us for next week.
Quinn, what is your opinion on this?
I'm with Casey. I don't care what the situation is. Take the advice and crush him.
Yep.
What modern deck do I play this weekend? I want to win this time. Hashtag with the good. Hashtag always improving. Red Green Vengevine. 5-color Tribal Zoo, 5-color Tribal Death Shadow, or Naya Company. I feel like there's a clear identity here, and if this is the identity you're taking, I would just play Red Green Vengevine because it has the highest upside.
Is the upside being sweet or the upside winning?
Oh, do you not know what this Red Green Vengevine deck is, Casey? You've been out of Magic.
Yeah, I mean, I know what Vengevine is. I mean, I get the gist. I get the whole thing.
So
Vengevine Bushwhacker. I get the idea.
No.
It's like an actual combo deck.
Combo. All right, hold on. Let me go to the tail of the tape here.
Yeah, so basically, like, they'll discard, like, a bunch of Vengevines and play Hollowed One that says cost 2 less for each card discarded this turn, and then they'll play and bring back the Vengevines and ha-cha.
Yeah, it's a turn two kill.
It's a deck I've seen Thoughtseize itself a number of times, and that's just a sign of good deck building.
That's high quality deck building.
It's going to be hard if you're on an event. You're like, you have to like say it pretty quick, right? Because you put Thoughtseize on the table, and your opponent's going to reveal their hand. You're like,
I wouldn't play five colors, and I wouldn't play five color Death Shadow, and I wouldn't play Naya Company ever. So I feel like the default option here is Vengevine.
Yeah, this deck looks like gasoline.
Quentin?
I would probably go with the Company deck.
All right. Boom. Missed my first two picks. I'm still going to dominate this league. Hashtag would be good.
This is such an ice cold take. This is completely not true. I'm going to have to take fantasy football so much more
Yahoo
seriously because I can't let that happen again.
Adrian with the worst draft in the league. And I also have Adrian with the worst draft in the league.
Possibly of all time.
Yeah. So good luck with that one, Adrian, because your team is hot garbo. Happy 200 episodes. Hashtag would be good. Is Ryan Kendall holding a pineapple pizza?
Yes.
That he made himself.
That he made himself. So this is a perfect segue. Cool.
No. This is actually good, though.
First of all,
the pineapple
I am no longer accepting Ryan Kendall's Patreon money. And second of all, Mason Clark is fired.
Why didn't Ryan just tweet this? What's the story with that?
Well, so the story is Ryan reached out to me a little, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, saying, "Hey, I had this idea. What if I like make this big pizza and I put 200 CCMTG on it?" And I was like, "That sounds awesome." And so he's the chef by trade, so he made it. And what Spencer doesn't know is there a video on the YouTube channel that's going to go public after this that was made for him celebrating 200 episodes of CCMTG. I think, great. Yeah, I linked
it
to you.
Are you still fired?
I might be, but I went down fighting. So we'll see. So expect to see that video up on the channel soon. And Ryan's awesome. He's a chef by trade, so he made that pizza. And he wanted to say it tasted like victory. So that's
so
me conveying that message for him.
Because he put the pineapple in, you know, in a certain...
You can just scrape it off.
No, you could eat around it. if you hate pineapple, it can be a unity pizza is what I'm trying to say.
Before we go, because this is the last tweet, I just want to say I love you guys. Thank you.
Love you too, man.
One of the common things that's said about this podcast is nobody likes Spencer. That's why nobody stays. That's not the reason. These guys are my best friends. They only did the show because they love me and I love them. And I couldn't have gotten here without you guys. And man, I hope that somebody has improved in Magic the Gathering because of this podcast. Because we put a lot of work into this. And I want to give just some weird shout outs. And you guys are welcome to do the same if you guys have any shout outs to give. But I'm going to give a shout out to KYT, Marshall. I want to give a shout out to the Spike Feed. I want to give a shout out to all of my co-hosts. I couldn't have been here without them. I want to give a shout out to Mason. Even though he likes to go live without telling us, or he likes to not go live. Or, you know, he likes to mess it up in some way. He likes to convince Danny to play terrible decks. Mason has made the show better, and we really appreciate him.
Danny needed so little convincing on that.
Well, that's because the deck's so great. He just played it so poorly.
Is that
That's the secret. I guess going to bring my heart to tell, you know. Danny got drunk, and we were at the GP and told me that himself. So, you know. Now you know.
I want to give a shout-out to PV.
I don't believe that, but
I might have lied.
Hey, it's my shout-out! I want to give a shout out to PV. I remember when we did Brain Tapped and we got our first episode with PV, and Quentin went out and bought a bottle of wine to celebrate before the show even started, and we were about to call PV, and Quentin was just smiling at me, and I said, "Where's your bottle of wine?" And Quentin's like, it's gone. where did it go? I drank it. I was celebrating, and we hadn't even gotten on the call with PV yet. And PV has since done every single piece of Magic London I've done. John Finkel did episode 13 with us, which 13 is mine and my wife's favorite number. It's been an unreal journey, and I just so many people have helped me along the way. So, and I want to give the chance to everybody else to say whatever they want.
I want to say nothing.
I'm very sleepy.
Yeah. I'll give a shout. So earlier you were like, man, I really hope someone got better at Magic the Gathering from this podcast. And I'm over here like, well, I got better at Magic the Gathering from this podcast. And it's been just like a real honor. And it's like, it was really great that Spencer like gave me a chance. I'm like, hey, Spencer, I think I can help with the podcast a little bit. And he was willing to take a chance on something he's put so much time and heart and passion into, as you've seen from this episode. If you hadn't somehow noticed it before, because you're crazy, it's like he took that chance, and that means a lot. And just getting to like do this show, and the show has helped me so much as well. And you know, that combined with getting to spread the good truth about not pile shuffling has really just made it so great. So thank you guys.
That's really high praise, Mason. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming. We'll see all of you in let's say 2 years from now for episode 400.
Hey. Can we get a special salute from Casey and Michael on their signature phrases?
You want a boom?
No.
So
that's
for?
Not what I wanted.
Oh,
but
that was a good stage in my life. Oh.
I wanted to have it going.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you guys on next week.